At Booker T, you were told your days at Booker T were numbered and you wouldn't graduate.
Yeah, by Mr. Whitlaw. Again, that system, that whole thing, that caste system, light-skinned blacks here, blacks here. Mr. Whitlaw resented the fact that I came in and began to question his authority. The principals that time ran their high schools and elementary schools like minor fiefdoms, you know. The principal's word was law. We had made money doing a kind of hijinks kind of thing, and a lot of folks came. Hijinks used to be a big show. It's the only time you see a lot of white people come down this, because it was like a vaudeville show on the black side of town, so a lot of white people came down to see it. They didn't see that singing and dancing at Central, so they'd come down. They had cut hijinks out the year before I got to high school because of a food boycott, so he took that hijinks away. Well, the band, and I was a part of the band, decided to have a show very much like hijinks without calling it hijinks. So we'd earned this money to buy new uniforms, because the uniforms went back to when Red first got in the band, you know, in the, probably the 1930s. And they were ragged and old and all that. And we had to go up here on this end of town for Christmas parade. They would have nice, shiny uniforms, shiny instruments. And we had these ragged instruments. So we earned some money. The next year, we got a new head of the music department, Mr. Trice. And I think to this day that Mr. Fields had to account for all the uniforms. Since I was going to be in high school another 2 years and he was missing a uniform, somehow my name got on the list as having lost that uniform. But the uniform was lost in 1951 before I got to high school. So we had a band festival in Okmulgee that we didn't get a chance to go to. So I asked Mr. Trice, I said, why didn't we? He said, well, we didn't have any money. I said, we earned $5,000 last year. The choir had taken that money and got new choir uniforms and 2 Cine Cruisers, the beginning of the Cine Cruiser buses, and gone to Sand Spring. They could have caught the streetcar. It cost a nickel. They could have caught the streetcar. So I said, Mr. Whitlow, that was the band's money. Oh, no, it was. I said, that was the band's money, not the choir's money. So there was a confrontation. Then he had to come down to the band room, and he hated that. Because, you know, I'm questioning his authority. And so he came down, and all my classmates were saying, yeah, man, we'll do blah, 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 until he got there. Once he got there, I was the Lone Ranger. Because my classmates just slithered right on back away from me. I said, no, man, that was the band's money. It was not the choir's money. You did not have a right. He called me to his office the next day. He said, I'm going to see to it you don't graduate. I said, well, if it has anything to do with grades, you can't stop me because my grades are way too good. And hey, the way they got me was that uniform. When I went to the office to see if I had lost any books in the 3 years out of that, the woman said, I wonder when you're going to come and take care of this uniform. What uniform? The uniform you look. I wasn't even in high school in 1951. Every year I turned my uniform in. Well, you owe $367. And a poor black boy, where am I going to get $367? So I went and told my mother and my aunt. I was living with my aunt on Latimer. She said, I don't know. I'll see what I can do, which is what people say. When I asked Miss Cullinan, Miss Cullinan said, you can't get a boy, pay for that uniform. And when I went in and gave him $367, it almost took the roof off the schoolhouse. Because, again, the system had not beaten me down. And the last thing Mr. Whitlow ever said to me in 1981, he was sitting under a tree in L.A., right by within a half mile of my condo. They were having an Oklahoma day. And he saw me coming. He said, Washington Rucker. I said, you remember me? He said, boy, I'll never forget you as long as I live. And I said, and I just graduated from UCLA that day. I said, and I just graduated from UCLA. That day, you dare? Because he told me, you'd be lucky if you get a job down at Brown Dunkin's with a broom.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. I said, I just graduated from UCLA.
And on graduation day.
Oh, yeah. Well, I went crazy. It wasn't done on purpose. I had this resentment towards the system and the way it had made every attempt to beat me down. And it had beaten many down. I just happened to be a lot stronger. And I think the strong point with me was the fact that I had gained a certain amount of independence based on the fact I played music.
Yeah.
That gave me a certain kind of independence. So the white superintendent comes down, he hands you your diploma, you shake his hand, you shake the principal's hand, you walk off the stage. A millisecond before it happened, I hadn't even given it any thought. When I shook the superintendent's hand, I walked past Mr. Whitlow like he was a ghost. You could hear a collective, did you see what Washington did? That was my going out thing. They said, hey, I got my diploma. The white man gave it to me. Bye. He walked off the stage.
And then you didn't see him until?
1981, when I graduated from UCLA.
Wow.
He said, boy, I'll never forget you.